This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so my fellow Americans.
It's the E-Square Podcast.
It's the E-Square Podcast. I'm Easy Mo, and today we have the lovely, wonderful DJ Susie in the house. What's going on?
What's up? Thank you for having me.
For sure. Thank you for pulling up. We've been going back and forth for a minute, so I'm glad I finally got you out here.
Definitely. Yeah. This is kind of like my Welcome to Vegas podcast.
Oh, word?
Yeah, and I haven't done an interview since before the pandemic, so it's pretty cool to,
dope.
Talk some shit,
dope.
Drink a little tequila.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I just had another female DJ on before, so it's two in a row.
No doubt.
Yeah, you're taking over the game.
Over,
yeah,
for sure.
For real. So, I'm like really
hot commodity.
Yeah,
female DJs. Yeah.
No, for real, because it's just you got to open those doors up. You know, you got to like kick in that door and then take over. But you got to be good. You know what I mean? It's like can get overlooked a lot. Like people, I mean, If you haven't watched DJ Susie's YouTube channel, go check it out. She went on a little rant about the female DJs, but we can get into that later. I want to learn about you and like where you grew up and how you became a DJ in the first place. So New York, right?
Yes, I was born and raised in Queens, mm-hmm. from New York. I'm the only girl of seven. I have
Queens.
Six brothers.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was a tomboy growing up. Mm. I watched professional wrestling and love sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to become a professional basketball player. That was my dream, to make it to the WNBA.
Really?
Yeah, that was my dream.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't have your typical childhood. I grew up just my brother's beating me up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really could never be bullied.
That's a full house.
Yeah, yeah.
Six
yeah.
brothers.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And are you the youngest?
I'm the middle child.
Oh, you're the middle child? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I have three older siblings and then three younger.
I'm middle child too, so that means like. What is the middle child syndrome? Do you have that?
I don't think so. And it's funny because, I'm the only girl. You would think that I get pampered and treat me like a princess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the contrary.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in Queens?
Oh, I went to a Catholic school in New York. Mm-hmm. And my brothers actually went through the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so grateful that I, went to a private school. And I think it really just, your personality develops when you're a kid. So, I saw a lot of things growing up. But I think going to a Catholic school really, disciplined me at a young age.
Mm.
And then, growing up, with my brothers, they got in trouble. So looking at their mistakes, trying not to fuck up, trying to make your family proud.
Right.
So I think that's, when I really, desired that passion to play basketball or to be famous or to do something big, something out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time it was basketball because I was really good.
Real word. Damn.
Yeah, and then
you're tall. You're taller than I think.
Than you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm 5'8".
Damn. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm just short, so I'm like, damn, I think I'm like, I tell people I'm 5'8", but I think I'm like 5'7".
Oh, yeah. Now you're pretty tall.
I'm a short king,
Yeah.
But that's dope.
Yeah.
So did you play basketball in high school, in college?
I did. I played varsity basketball in high school. I actually moved to North Carolina to play basketball.
Oh, dope.
So from New York, moved to North Carolina, did mm-hmm. four years in North Carolina. And, it was like culture shock
mm-hmm.
moving to the South.
For sure.
So it was different.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it because, I felt like I was, the girl from New York.
Yeah.
No one could fuck with me. I was tough. No one could bully me. And, But no, I accomplished all of my high school dreams. I was the homecoming queen.
Dope.
Yeah, I did JROTC. I was undefeated in chess club.
Mm.
So,
You're one of those students. Okay.
Yeah. So I participated in a lot of the programs in high school.
That's dope.
Yeah. So.
But
then I traded in my Nikes for a pair of heels.
Yeah. So, like, how did you make that transition from basketball to music?
So it was actually when I went homecoming queen. I was like, okay, so, let me start wearing my hair down. Let me start mm-hmm. dressing up a little bit more feminine, And and I started modeling when I was 17. And I auditioned for America's Next Top Model.
Mm.
Did a video audition and I got a call back for a second audition.
Wow.
Flew out to Miami, was able to get the second call back.
Mm.
And then I was one call back away from being on the show.
Mm.
And during that time, Univision, the Spanish channel, had developed their own reality show, similar to America's Next Top Model, called Nuestra Belleza Latina.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually did that show and sure enough, I was able to place in the top 12 out of the entire country. And that right there is what gave me my notoriety.
Dope.
Yeah.
So you made that transition from like tomboy to girly girl.
Oh yeah.
Was your family like all for it, or were they like taken back? Did they support you? Or
no, you know what? My mother is my main support system. Mm. My brothers, actually, when I was younger, they got locked up. So, you know, we went 5 or 6 years without them being home. Mm. So, you know, my mother was going through like a depressed stage in her life. Mm. So I felt like I had to make her proud and make her happy. And I had to, you know, be the exact opposite of my brothers.
Mm.
So I think that's what kind of drove me when I was younger. So she always supported any idea or venture that I had or any dream. So, you want to play basketball? Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, like, we would sign up for like the rec team in North Carolina, or, you know, she's like, oh, you want to become a model? You know, let's pursue that dream.
Mm.
And then because of her, I actually started DJing also.
Mm. Shout out to moms.
Yeah, mom's the best. Damn. She's awesome.
Damn. Was your dad around?
No.
Oh, he wasn't around?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he actually he was always around here and there, popping his head every once in a while.
Okay.
But no, my mother was
at the
mom
store
and dad.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah, he's getting cigarettes a lot. Yeah.
You already know.
Oh my gosh. Damn. So you learned from your brothers everything what not to do.
Exactly.
Similar to me. My brother was in jail, you know, his whole teens, went to prison, and I was like, you know, and he's a year older than me, so it's like, he's my right hand man. You taught me everything, what not to do. So
exactly.
You know, and then you go like the total opposite direction.
Exactly. And, that's exactly what happened to me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So then you started DJing when?
All right. So then I did this reality show, the Spanish version of America's Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm.
Came back to North Carolina, and I was a superstar in North Carolina. Mm. I was the only girl to ever place in the top 12.
There wasn't a lot of, were there a lot of Latinas out there or Latin people in general, or?
I mean, North Carolina, when I moved to North Carolina, it was barely growing.
Mm.
Now it's like a little melting pot. Now you have a bunch of Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Colombians, you know, Mexicans, you find them everywhere.
You're half Mexican, right?
Yeah, I'm half Mexican, half Dominican.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so then I started becoming an entrepreneur. I developed my own beauty pageant for girls in North Carolina, and you know, I started promoting at nightclubs, bringing artists, bringing DJs.
Word.
And at that time, one of my brothers had gotten out of jail. So he actually paroled in North Carolina.
Mm.
And we started doing these parties together. And it just, everything took off from there.
Mm.
Started making money at a very young age. And my job was always to supervise the DJs. So we had this like very successful night in North Carolina on Thursdays. It was at this really nice venue. And my brother and I, we would hire DJs from out of town to come out and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was to supervise them and kind of, you know, let them know, hey, you know, New York is different from North Carolina. You got to switch it up a little bit. So my job was to always be in the DJ booth. So I kind of got an idea of how DJs got down and how they mixed, and never wanted to become a DJ. You know, I was practically the boss of the party.
Right.
But my mother just got to the point where, you know, my mother's like, yo, we're spending so much money on these DJs. And, you know, you practically supervise these people when they come into town.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just buy your own equipment and start DJing yourself? We'll save all that money.
Mm.
And, you know, you could potentially start a career.
Mm.
And I said, nah, I frowned upon it. I was like, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. It's not for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we went through a time where we were going through some financial difficulties, and we had no choice but to kind of minimize our expenses.
So
I told my mother, I said, you know what? I think it's time to buy that DJ equipment.
Wow.
And she actually bought a controller for me and did some classes with one of my cousins. He's an old school DJ from back in the day. Turntables, CDs, fucking mixing cassettes.
The right way, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like old school.
Mm.
And he basically showed me the ropes, and the rest is history. I did a photo shoot with my headphones on.
Uh-huh.
Forget it. I started getting calls from all over the country because remember, I did the reality show.
Right.
So people knew me from the reality show, and they're like, oh, shit, you're a DJ now?
Right.
How much do you charge? I'm like, damn, you know, this could potentially be, you know, the next transition in life.
Right, for real. So do you enjoy, like, being a DJ more than the promoter, or did you want to go back to, like, being the promoter when you first started DJing, like...
You know, it's so funny because I tell Kelly, my manager, big shout out to Jules Entertainment. I tell Kelly all the time, I'm like, man, I just feel like I go through like these 4-year spans where I have to do something different with my life.
Mm.
So I think that once once that whole promoting and, you know, being in the clubs came to an end, I felt like I was ready to do something new. So the DJing was a blessing in disguise. I started traveling all over the country. I did 6 tours in Dominican Republic. My forte is Latin music. So I get down to the reggaeton, the dembow, the Latin house, the tropical music, the bachata. So I think that honestly, for a Latin DJ, it's a little harder because you have to know how to mix all types of genres. You know, you got all different types of BPMs. So in the beginning, that was, you know, it was tough, but I enjoyed learning and it was awesome just getting on stage and traveling. I really enjoyed that. So everything just took off.
That's dope. Is you are manager of the year. For real.
We've been working together for a few months now, so she's great.
We're still recording, right? Okay.
There's
cool.
Nothing like having a female by your side.
No, for real. Facts. Yeah. I need one in my life.
You need one
in my life.
Oh man,
your boy's out here single. No, I'm just kidding. But
women know how to get the job done.
Yeah,
you know, out of all my managers, she gets me paid the most.
A good one. You have multiple managers?
I did in the past. Yeah.
Oh damn! So you cut them all off?
I did.
Oh, so she's the last one standing.
She is.
Damn.
I think I'm gonna retire with this one.
So you're not afraid to fire somebody?
Oh, not at all. No, I'm not afraid to cut someone off.
Yeah.
Indefinitely. Like.
Have you always been like that or?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cutthroat. Very cutthroat. I don't like wasting time.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying? I don't like wasting time. I feel like, you know, once you show your true colors, it's over.
Yeah, facts.
You know?
Yeah, facts. So let's get back to the DJ. So you made the transition to the DJ, to being a DJ. You're just getting booked off the rip?
So I'm just getting booked off the strength of me being on this reality show and the popularity that I gained.
Right.
So yeah, I started getting booked. This guy in Dominican Republic is like, hey, you know, would you like to DJ out here in DR? And, you know, I love Dominican Republic. It's such a vibe out there. And I'm like, hell yeah. I barely knew the guy. But I went out on a limb because I was so eager to just get out and try something new.
Yeah.
So he set up this nice little tour for me. And I've DJed at every major venue in Dominican Republic, from Punta Cana to Santo Domingo to Santiago. I mean, everywhere, Puerto Plata, everywhere you can imagine in Dominican Republic, I've DJed at. And that to me was like my biggest lesson.
Right.
When it came to DJing, because it's such a tough crowd out there.
Right.
When it comes to Latin music, reggaeton hits the Caribbean first, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and then they start playing the hits in New York, starts trickling down to Miami, and then that's West Coast gets it later, a few months later.
Okay.
So imagine an artist drops a song tonight, tomorrow, all the DJs are playing it in the club. In LA, it was culture shock when I went to LA, because in LA, it's like, they don't play those songs until months later. Like, they need to be bangers in order for you to play those songs.
Right.
The crowd is just so different.
Right.
So DR, it was challenging at first because it's, you know, I didn't have any experience.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I was able to learn on the road types of crazy shit happened to me while I was DJing. You know, I had the music shut off on me.
Oh yeah, you
technical difficulties.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like you were in over your head, considering like you just kind of started DJing, but you're like getting thrown into, you know, these serious big venues?
I mean, I never felt intimidated by any gig, any event. I felt like, you know, I always felt confident, even though, you know, a lot of people think DJing is, you know, it's easy. Nowadays you have controllers,
right.
It's not like the mecca of DJing, you know, when DJs started learning how to scratch and use turntables and shit like that. Nowadays with Serato, everything is a lot easier.
Right.
So it wasn't challenging in that sense. You know, I don't have to carry my crates anywhere. I got my music library in my DJing program. I think the most challenging part was figuring out the crowd and the music and how to hype them up on the mic.
Yeah.
Making them dance and enjoy your set. I think to me was more of it was more difficult than the actual DJing process. Even though the mixing and the blending, obviously that's a science.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you got to learn how to, and every setup is different. You know, I'm not going to lie. I started DJing on a controller. That's how I started. But, you know, I have turntables at home. I have CDJs at home. I wanted to make sure that no one knocked me for being a fake DJ.
Right.
Which is, you know.
Yeah.
Basically.
A lot of these DJs are fake DJs these days, huh?
Yeah, and yeah. I used to hire a lot of DJs mm-hmm. that were fake DJs, but they were great on the mic.
Yeah.
They were great on the mic. Right. They looked good. Mm-hmm. So they were able to draw a crowd. See, mm-hmm. as a promoter, I look at that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you go to a club, a lot of the, you know, these people, they don't care what setup you're playing on. Mm-hmm. At least in my experience. They just want to dance, have a good time.
Right.
They don't know if you're fucking, if you're playing on CDJs with the S9 or the yeah, new, yeah, yeah. you know, the, they don't care about that. They just want to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So damn. I used to hire DJs that had a, you know, stage presence,
right.
were good on the, good MCs,
mm-hmm.
and that were able to hype up the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, it's important being vocal. You know,
yeah, it is, yeah. it is, it is. I realized when I moved to LA, not a lot of DJs talk shit on the mic or hype
yeah,
up the crowds.
Yeah, that's important. That's, to me, as like a, if I'm in the club, like, I want to hear, you know, DJ Franzen does this really well. He fucking, like, he has something clever to say, like, for every
oh, yeah.
song.
You gotta
or
have
like,
your catch lines, your
yeah,
catch phrases.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It
no
makes
doubt.
The experience, like, so much better.
Yeah. Then, yeah. And being bilingual at these crowds, you know, I talk shit in Spanish mm-hmm. and in English.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
dope,
it's
too,
it's
yeah.
very, you know what? And it's rare to see a girl go on stage and fuck shit up because yeah. it's just, it's, you know, it's not common. Yeah, it's not yeah. common to see a female DJ, you know,
mm-hmm.
fuck shit up in this industry that's, you know, dominated by males. And that's yeah. been. I think more than anything, that's been something that, you know, has been, I've made a career trolling male DJs.
That's good.
Yeah, because,
yeah.
they want to hate on me. They're like, oh, yo, you get booked because you look good.
You get a lot of hate.
Oh, so much hate, but
really?
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I get so much hate. Oh, you're a female DJ. You know, yeah. of course they're going to book you over, you know, a DJ that's been in the business for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because, you know, you have a big ass and titties. Mm-hmm. Of course, the yeah. promoters are going to book you over, you know, a more talented DJ or a more experienced DJ.
Right, right,
but
right.
I feel like when it comes to DJing, you need to know how to market yourself
mm-hmm.
in order to get those opportunities.
Right, right. Facts.
You know, so, I mean, it's been a struggle.
Yeah, you've
dealing
probably,
with the hate, but, you know, at the same time, I welcome it.
It's probably not just hate, though. It's got to be creeps, too. Like, especially coming from the model world and now you're DJing. It's
yeah.
like, I can only imagine, like,
yeah,
what you got to deal with.
Of course, you with yeah. sleazy promoters yeah, and club yeah. owners.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes I get booked because the promoters want, you know, and I'm keeping it real, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this,
yeah.
This is what it is.
Uncensored, yeah.
It is what it is. I get booked mostly because they look at my profile. They see that I'm verified. Oh, she looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she got a blue check.
Mm-hmm.
She works for Golden Boy. Mm-hmm. Let's hire her.
Mm-hmm.
They've never seen me mix or blend or, you know, hype up a crowd. No, they don't care. I didn't care when I was a promoter.
Right,
I wanted,
right,
you know, I honestly, that's you.
Yeah.
You want to hire a DJ that's going to draw a crowd,
right.
who's going to, you know, do a good job and, mm-hmm. and perform well.
Facts.
So, you know, I know that sex sells. Mm. So I use, that's my marketing tool right there. I'm a businesswoman.
There you go.
So I use my sex appeal.
Yeah.
So
you
I
have
you know,
to. Yeah.
I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
That's my advantage.
Right.
That's my advantage. And right. and I use it to the maximum potential.
Yeah.
Even though I have, you know, other DJs in the game that have no respect for me because they're like, oh, you know, she doesn't know how to mix or, you know, she doesn't scratch or she doesn't use turntables for her performances.
Mm.
You know, at the end of the day, I learned how to DJ in the digital era.
Right.
You know, you can't knock a photographer for not using a Polaroid camera.
Facts.
And say, oh, you're not a real photographer because you don't use old equipment.
It's not 1980 anymore. Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, we had this experience. Where were we on Saturday? We went to, New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
We were in New Orleans, and it's so funny because, you know, obviously I have a rider,
mm-hmm.
and my preference is either the S9 with the CDJs,
mm-hmm.
with the newer CDJs,
mm-hmm.
or a controller, which is an easy setup for me because I don't want to deal with the bullshit. I don't want to deal with having to, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You want to come in there and play. You don't
yeah,
wanna,
I want to yeah. go in there and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's funny because a lot of these setups, they're old. So with the newer operating systems, they're just not compatible.
Mm.
So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to waste time or you know, have mistakes fuck up the show
mm-hmm.
just because I want to prove to the DJ that's playing before me that I know how to play on turntables,
yeah.
you know? It's like, that's not what I got hired to do.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think that's the main reason why these DJs, you know, they come at me hard and they're like, mm-hmm. whatever, you just get booked,
yeah.
you know, because you probably fucked the promoters and shit. Like, think what you want, but
yeah.
you know what? Focus on your game. Focus on what
yeah,
you gotta
why
do.
You worried about, why are they worried about what you're doing?
You know, it's funny because, you know, some of these guys, you know, they want to talk shit about my looks, but they do nothing to improve theirs.
Mm.
You know, they don't they don't take dope photo shoots. I invest in my brand, in my image.
Facts.
You know, like if
you do a great job online. Great job, yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, that's part of the persona. So
it's all about perception. This game.
It's all about perception.
And if when you understand that and you like take that into account and you understand this big part of your business.
Yeah,
then it
100%.
Like, yeah, you know, a lot of 100%. People are like, oh, I don't want to play that game, this and that, and they don't get booked.
Exactly.
And then they're mad at the world. And they're mad at people like you.
Yeah, they're mad at people like me because they see that, you know, I'm successful at what I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want to, you know, they want to blame the fact that, you know, I'm a girl and I'm curvaceous and I have, you know, I have an advantage.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's just, you know, I know how to market myself.
Yeah. But you're also, at the end of the day, you got to be good at what you do.
Exactly. Exactly.
You gotta have thick skin in this business.
Yeah,
you do,
for sure.
You got that from Queens, or?
Of course, 100%.
Yeah. Damn, man. 100%. That is crazy. So you're not, so are you like, this is your Welcome to Vegas interview. Are you living out here, or what's your situation?
Yeah, so I lived in LA for about 4 years. I still live in LA. I'm
How
back
that?
And forth.
You like it, or you getting out
of
it now,
I love
it.
You know what the thing is? I love LA. The weather's amazing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you get taxed for the weather. So super expensive to live in LA.
Right.
I came out to Vegas because my mother lives out here with my brother. And I want to buy some real estate and, you know, level up and, you know, transition into the next chapter in my life.
Yeah, for sure. So how long have you been DJing?
I've been DJing since 2015, so.
Oh, so you're past your 4 years.
Almost 7 years.
You're past your 4 years.
Yeah.
Have you been itching to get into something else and kind of put DJing behind you?
You know what? The pandemic was a huge rude awakening for me. You know, when that shit happened and we had to take a break, everyone was forced to stay at home. It's like, damn, like, what else can I do with my life? You know, I can't depend on just doing these lives and asking people for tips, even though I respect DJs that was their grind during the pandemic. You know, a lot of people are like, Susie, why don't you just get on live and start DJing? I wasn't feeling it. Like, I didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing my research and venturing out into other things. And I actually got really involved in stocks and crypto. And
oh, word.
Yeah.
Oh, nice,
and
nice.
I threw a lot of my savings into assets. And
So how's that crypto going for you?
It's going great.
Yeah,
it's going great.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
good. To the moon.
That's good. To the moon. That's what they say, huh?
That's what they say.
That's dope. So are you just going to ride this out, or this DJ thing, or like, do you have a plan?
So, you know, we're on tour right now.
Okay.
So, you know, we're back in the clubs and we're DJing Golden Boy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're starting to do fights again.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's part of what I want to continue to do, but now I have these other ventures that I want to pursue, and I'm looking at like maybe 3 to 5 years tops, and then I'm going to retire from DJing.
Word.
Yeah.
Unless somebody books you. Real,
unless somebody books me and it's like a huge event and I'm itching to get on stage again.
Yeah.
I mean, but I did it for so many years because the thing is, you know, a lot of people, you know, I don't have years of experience, but what I've done in the short span of me DJing has been incredible.
You DJed
all over the world, you know, DJed in a lot of different countries and, you know, in big venues and festivals. So I feel like, you know, I felt a little gassed out.
You kind of feel like there's just like you've hit your ceiling a little bit. You don't want to say that, but it kind of feels like that a little bit.
I just don't know what more I can do other than maybe go outside of the States and DJ maybe in Europe and explore new territories and make a name for myself elsewhere.
Yeah.
But right now I'm just, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing and, you know, I have fun DJing and.
Yeah, you DJ Triple G versus Canelo.
I did.
That's epic.
I've DJed.
Epic.
I've DJed in Madison Square Garden.
Epic,
I've DJed in the T-Mobile Arena, the MGM Grand Arena.
Epic, yeah.
I've DJed everywhere.
How come you've never gotten with like a, or maybe I'm wrong, but have you ever gotten with an artist and like went on to been like the official DJ for that artist?
I've opened up for a lot of artists.
Right.
I've opened, but not, never, but I've like, never, no, I've never gone on tour
and
with
help
an artist.
Build an artist up?
No. That was, I mean, that was.
She's like, hell.
I do well by myself.
Right.
So I mean, it was never like, oh, I'm fiending to go on tour with an artist.
Has any of these? I'm sure these artists have hit you up, been like, be my DJ on tour.
Oh yeah. And I've DJed and I've done a lot of parties, but you know, nothing to an extent where, you know, we're signing a contract and I'm exclusive to any particular artist.
You don't feel like that would be a step you should take? Like if Bad Bunny said, come be my DJ.
Oh, yeah, of course. If that, if an opportunity like that presented itself, yeah, of course, we would, you know, Kelly, sign the contract.
Yeah.
You know, we would do something huge like that. Mm. But what I, you know, what I did prior to the pandemic, I would do like my little music videos. I would do my own mixes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen some of my music videos.
Yeah, oh yeah, I stalked you for sure on YouTube. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you, how come you haven't posted anything in a while on YouTube?
You know what? We're going to get back into it.
Yeah, you should.
We're going to get back into it. I'm telling you, the pandemic was like a major like pause in my career.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know, as far as like all the plans that I had and, you know.
Yeah, you should vlog and shit.
And production and all that.
You would go crazy vlogging.
Yeah, that's
what. Do all that. It's just like it's like vlogging. I've tried vlogging. It's annoying. It's fucking annoying. You know.
Is it? So you don't recommend?
I mean, it's something you have to get used to. You have to understand, like, you're doing it for a business. You're doing it as part of your brand.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's gonna pay off.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's like the intimate conversations.
Yeah.
You know, like backstage or something. They're being filmed, so it doesn't really feel as genuine anymore.
Yeah,
and you're like,
I think. Yeah, I think you would. You know, I'm the type of person. I need to feel passionate about something.
Yeah, yeah.
In order for me to really go gung ho and pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, I just right now I'm like weighing my options. I just moved to Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, tomorrow we're gonna look at some condos. You know, potentially buy some real estate and you know, look more into establishing a future, which is what I didn't do while I was DJing. I was a rock star for a few years, and you know, you don't, when you're in the clubs all the time and you're living the life and you're traveling, you really don't prepare for a future, especially when you don't have the proper management.
Mm.
And it's so important to have great representation.
For sure.
Someone that, you know, keeps you balanced and sees the potential and wants to help you grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really had that in the past.
Did you act as your own manager? Did you pretend?
You,
emails and all that?
No. Never that. But, you know, I did work with a few people that were inexperienced and I kind of had to set the tone and kind of show them how to do, you know, how to close certain deals and shit like that. But
where did you learn all that? You just been bossy your whole life? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. My mom's a boss bitch.
Yeah, I have to say.
I got to give it to her. So I get it from her.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because a lot of creatives and people in the industry, it's like a weird industry because nobody teaches you how to do business. Business isn't done traditionally.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really tough to learn. What advice can you give, you know, a young female DJ in particular that's just getting her feet wet? What would you say to her?
You know, it's crazy because I'm reading a book right now, and it, you know, it talks about how to take responsibility for your actions and be accountable for your actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so quick to blame the next person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we really don't do the necessary changes to kind of fix what's wrong.
Right.
You know, we're so quick to just, oh man,
mm-hmm.
you fucked this deal up for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to take accountability for the decisions we make when it comes to choosing the right circle.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to give a piece of advice to any DJ, not just female DJs, do your job, your due diligence, and make sure that the people that are in your circle are trustworthy, loyal people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely hard right there.
Mm-hmm.
That right there in itself is a hard task to find someone that really has your best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in it for them. That really wants to help you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, unfortunately, it's a shady business. People take advantage of you all the time. Promoters mm-hmm. take advantage of you. Club owners take advantage of you. So,
yeah.
You know, it's tough. So, I think there's nothing better than experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was my case for sure, especially when I first started off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because when you start a career, you're just so eager to get out there and do your job. But
you're blind to, you know, everything that's really going on around.
And you trust everyone that's around you you trust what they tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
But you just, you know, I feel like we need to do our due diligence and really scope out those people in our lives that we decide to work with.
For sure. Yeah, it's finding the right people to have around you is like the hardest thing in life, period.
Oh, it's the hardest thing.
How do you balance, like, you're a hardworking woman. I see, you know, I follow you on Instagram. You're like everywhere. You're in a new city every weekend, and you're working all the time. Yes. How do you balance your personal life with that?
Let's see. You know what? When it's so funny because, you know, there's a lot of DJs I know that they're in business with their partners. Mm. So a few of the female DJs I know that are killing it right now, mm-hmm. their managers, either their boyfriend or their husband. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of trust there.
Yeah.
I feel like things are starting to flow now because I'm in business with my partner, my partner in life. So, you know, that right there within itself is just, it's a blessing because you want to work with someone that you could rely on and someone that has your best interests at heart. Mm. So I feel like in the past, I've made the wrong mistakes trying to bring certain people on board that, you know, were not in it for me. They were in it for the money or for, you know, for you know, the fame or just traveling and meeting new people. And they weren't really in it for me. So I think it's just important to, focus on your relationships.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's tough because you get caught up in the whirlwind of working. And, you know, you're in the club all the time. You're drinking. Oh, yeah. You're doing this and that. And then you look up and, you know, all this time has gone by. And it's like, fuck, your life has got to be a blur.
Yeah.
It's got to be a blur.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%.
Do you take vacations or?
Jeez. I don't. Not recently. Mm. But, I mean, my life is a vacation. Mm. You know, I don't have
perspective. That's a hell of a perspective.
Yeah, I don't have a regular job. I'm very blessed. Mm-hmm. I'm very blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always show respect to all these other DJs, to my colleagues, right?
Yeah.
Even though hate me and you know, you feel like you know, I get booked for other reasons. Mm-hmm. Like I have a lot of respect for these DJs that have been in the business for 10 plus, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. You know? Cause it's not an easy job to be a DJ, you know, and it's hard dealing with people that, you know, they're not good booking agents or managers and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
many loopholes, like so many fucking hoops you got to jump through.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Especially with tendonitis.
Oh, you got that cast in,
it makes it even harder.
Discipline. I know it's not sexy, but
that's crazy. She's still out here. Even do you want to tell that story
about
how you got tendonitis? I feel like the people should know because it's a pretty hilarious story.
I mean, it's funny because you would think that it was through DJing or hard labor or
she's out here typing.
No, nothing like that. I actually, for those of you that follow me, you guys know that I have a pet chameleon at home and I have a little teacup Yorkie. I love animals. Mm. I don't have kids, but my animals are my kids. Mm. So I have a pet chameleon that got sick during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, he was my first reptile. They're high maintenance animals. You have to keep their enclosure at a certain, you know, temperature and humidity level. Mm-hmm. So he got sick, took him to an exotic vet. Mm-hmm. He tells me, you know, that they diagnosed him with a disease that affects their bones. And it's common in chameleons. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you need to keep his enclosure really wet. Mm. Really wet, and his temperature needs to be at a certain level. They need to live like in a tropical
humid
environment. So I wasn't doing that. I was on the road all the time, so I really wasn't paying attention. You know, I really didn't take good care of him. Mm-hmm. But during the pandemic, I started realizing that, like, you know, it started affecting his eyes. I wake up, his eyes like closed shut one day, and you know, they diagnosed him with this disease. And I tried my best to keep him alive because he was on the verge of dying. Mm-hmm. And I would literally wet his enclosure 10 to 15 times a day for like 30 seconds at a time. That repetitive use of your tendon, that movement right there gave me tendonitis.
I'm sorry. It's. I know you're going through a lot of pain. I don't mean to laugh at you.
No, it's okay.
It's just such a random story.
But I don't regret it. I saved his life. He's good now. He's living in Vegas now. So he's...
Maybe that's God trying to push you out of DJing and onto your next journey, you know?
Maybe. Crazy. I should become an exotic vet. I'm an expert when it comes to chameleons now.
Oh, man. Are you religious?
I
went to Catholic school.
I'm Catholic. Yes, I'm Catholic. I'm not overly religious.
Okay, cool.
But I do believe in God, and I feel like, you know, everyone has their, you know, their individual relationship with God, and I definitely have my own. Mm. Even though I don't go to church or I don't read the Bible or I'm not deep into it, but I believe God exists for sure.
Church is weird, especially Catholic church.
You know, I mean, a lot of people feel that way about the Catholic Church.
Yeah, my best friend was Mexican, and they were growing up. So, you know, going to his house, growing up in his house, you know, like the traditional Mexican mom, you know, with the, you know, all, you're very religious and all that around the house. And,
yeah, of course.
And, you know, I went to Catholic school and all that, too. And when I got older, I'm like, this shit is weird.
Yeah,
I'm never coming back here. Yeah, it's weird.
I feel like that's every religion. Every religion has their.
It's weird, yeah.
I mean, it just it all depends. It all depends. But
are you spiritual? You would say.
I feel like I'm spiritual.
I feel like that's what us kids these days.
Call it,
you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what our generation calls it. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Yeah, they always try to get me.
That's
back
our cop out. We don't say we're religious. Yeah. We say we're spiritual.
Yeah, facts. Well, I think it rings more true. You know, because I think we're smarter. We're smarter than any other humans that have lived
I don't think we're smarter. I think we're less closed-minded.
Mm,
yeah. We're less closed-minded. And our experiences are way different than our parents and our grandparents and what they went through, you know?
Facts. Yeah, they didn't have access to the information we have. I think that's the biggest thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
For sure.
100%, yeah.
So let's talk about OnlyFans.
Let's do it.
What was the decision into creating an OnlyFans?
You know what? The only regret I have about OnlyFans is not doing it sooner.
Mm.
Yeah, because I knew about OnlyFans maybe a year prior to doing it. Mm-hmm. I had a few friends that were on OnlyFans.
When did you start?
I started during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I was like, I got to make money somehow.
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
I can't travel right now. Mm-hmm. You know, DJing is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that. So, I needed to maintain a certain income.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped on that OnlyFans tip, and that was a blessing in disguise too.
Because,
you know, it's crazy. With OnlyFans, you know, a lot of people frown upon it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a way to interact with your true fans.
Because they pay to talk
they
to you.
They pay to, and they fuck with you. The ones that really want to, you know, they want that access to you, they'll pay whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's vulgar, even if they want to see you, they want to see your titties, they want to see your ass, they want to see you in a thong, it's crazy because a lot of these guys that I've met on OnlyFans, these guys just want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just want to have that. You know, that close encounter with someone that they follow, not a celebrity, you know, but someone that's actually, you know, someone that they feel like they can get to know. And and I think OnlyFans has been a great decision that I was able.
You probably got
able
a bag.
To execute.
You probably got a bag.
Yeah.
The OnlyFans girls, the OnlyFans girls that, or the girls that, I shouldn't call you an OnlyFans girl. I'm sorry.
I apologize.
But the girls that I know have OnlyFans. I had Brooklyn Wren. She's a UFC octagon girl.
I had
her up here, and she was telling me I was like, you make that much?
Yeah, I bet.
Damn.
See, you know what the thing it's a hack. Yeah, OnlyFans is a hack. If you look good and you don't mind like exploiting your sexuality, why not? You know, it's an extra way to make money.
Yeah,
it's an easy way to make money. You know, if you're already, this is the thing, right? Everybody that sees or follows my Instagram, you know, they know that I always put out sexy content.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, that's what I like to do. Mm-hmm. I like putting out my bikini shots, and that's just a part of my personality. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it since way back in the day.
Sex sells.
And I like it. I feel like, you know, that's a true form of expression right there.
Yeah.
Freedom of expression through sexuality is liberating.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because I was kind of opposed to doing the whole OnlyFans thing. Because
it was like a bad connotation attached to it.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone thinks OnlyFans is porno it's fucking sex and masturbating and all this crazy That's how it is. That's what people think about it. But it's what you design your page to be and how you want to, you know, how you want people to perceive your page.
Yeah.
So when I decided to do OnlyFans, it was actually a DJ that left a comment on one of my pictures.
You want some more tequila? You looking
at
the bottom?
Yeah, I do.
Looking
I do,
at
actually.
The bottom of that glass. I see you.
We just getting started. Appreciate it.
She's the responsible one.
She is.
But sorry. Go ahead.
No, so, you know, I was in the beginning, I was opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck, that's not good for my image. It's not a good look, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I work for Golden Boy, and I still, even though I, you know, my content's very sexy, I've always tried to maintain this, you know, this professional.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to give away too much.
Exactly. Yeah. So I had this one DJ comment on one of my pictures, or it was a video, and he's like, "Oh, why don't you know he?" I think he. It was a video of me. I was like strutting and like a G-string bikini from Fashion Nova, because yeah. I'm an ambassador for Fashion Nova, so they give me a lot of clothes, so I have to always create content and post Fashion Nova. So I did this video, and this guy was like, "Hey, why don't you just, you know, you look like a porn star. Like, aren't you a real, like, you're not a DJ. Like, you're just a porno star." Yeah. And I'm like, I think I went on a rant about that, because I'm like, you know, it's so funny how, you know, women just automatically got this.
Yeah, they get thrown into that box.
Yeah, and it sucks because, you know, Instagram is all about sex appeal. Mm-hmm. You know, the IG models. And it's, you know, it's just a platform for you to create content. And you're the driver of that vehicle. And, you know, my whole thing has always been sexy content. Mm-hmm. When he says that and compares me to a porn star, I'm like, fuck, I bet he's not the only person that thinks that. Yeah. I guarantee you there's a lot of people that think that way about me. Mm-hmm. So if they already think that way about me, why not
capitalize?
Why not exploit it and execute on that idea?
Yeah.
And it was a wrap from cha-ching. There on.
Cha-ching.
It was a wrap from there. And you know, it's not like I don't go crazy on my OnlyFans. You know,
I haven't checked it out, just a disclaimer. I didn't check
it out.
All right.
You know, a lot of my content is more like implied nudity, or it's lingerie, a little sexier than the content I do on OnlyFans. I don't do that porno shit, or you know, how a lot of guys, you know, they often request like a lot of explicit content. I don't do any of that, you know, but it was a way for me to make extra money.
Yeah, for sure.
And it kept me afloat throughout the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I still do it. So it's like a side hustle for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good if it's a side hustle. I mean, if it works, work it. Shit.
Why? Look, this is the thing. I don't want to be 50 years old, regret being old and wrinkly and, you know.
I don't think you're going to look old and wrinkly. You probably still have an OnlyFans of 50.
Maybe.
You probably got some little 25-year-olds like.
Yeah. Yeah. MILF status at that point.
Real, for real.
Yeah.
God willing. Yeah.
But yeah, so it just, you know, to me, it was like, let me just capitalize on my sex appeal. Why not?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
you know, it's not like they're going to stop booking me because I have an OnlyFans. You know, if anything, I've gotten booked way more because of that. And I've created a bigger following because of my OnlyFans.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just.
Yeah, if you would have started it earlier, because the pandemic is like when it really kind of went mainstream.
It did. Yeah.
It's okay.
It did.
It's okay.
Or maybe not. Maybe at the time I started was like
perfect.
The perfect timing.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, you've gained a lot of notoriety, especially in the Latin community, obviously.
Oh, 100%.
Do you deal with like people treating you weird because you're famous, or you're like, you know, you're a familiar face, and do people get weird around you or try to attach themselves to you? Or?
I think above all, people get the wrong idea when it comes to, should I approach her? Is she even approachable? Mm. But I'm down as fuck. Like, I'm super cool. Like, if you come, like, especially during the Golden Boy events, I have fans come up to me all the time taking, requesting pictures and videos and selfies. And I am the most chill chick when it comes to, you know, showing love to people that support me. So I think that, you know, I think it's just mostly people, you know, thinking that I'm stuck up and that I'm not approachable. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I kind of had a cheat code because Exile really went in on how cool you are. So.
Oh, no doubt. That's all. He's my boy.
Yeah. Shout out Exile. Yeah.
Big shout out to Exile.
Yeah. It's got to be weird, though. I mean, I'm sure people like try to get close to you to get close to somebody you're close to and do all that extra weird shit.
Yeah, man, I've had a lot of weird shit happen.
Yeah.
Now, I think I'm gonna tell this story. This is the first time
Let's hear it.
This is the first time I've ever spoken about this publicly, you know? And I'm not gonna say any names, right? But this is the thing, right? I feel like I have a very unique personality. Because I could go from the Kelly Kapowski to like the fucking Ronda Rousey, yeah. You know, in a split second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I could talk to you about beauty pageants and the Miss Universe, but I could also talk to you about professional wrestling and how Sting is the fucking best wrestler of all time and the WCW era and the WWF era and the Monday Night Wars, you know. Big shout out to all my wrestling geeks.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
That's just how, that's the type of personality I have, is because, you know, obviously I grew up with all these boys. So I think when it comes to guys, sometimes they get the wrong impression, where we're just having a regular conversation and they misinterpret the conversation and automatically assume, oh, she's into me. She likes me.
She's flirting with me.
She wants it. Oh, she wants it. Yeah, she wants some of this. Right, and it's not that. It's just, and Kelly tells me this shit all the time. She's like, oh, man, you're just too friendly with people.
Yeah, you can't be too nice to guys.
Yeah,
our minds just go, you know.
Unfortunately, right? But
But
it's funny because there's like, man, I'm going to.
Tell the story. Let's
all right, so there's this guy on IG. He's kind of famous.
Kind of?
Yeah, he's kind of famous.
Okay.
He was my boy. We were cool.
Mm-hmm.
I probably saw him one time ever in life.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of developed a friendship over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as like, you know, just chopping it up. How you doing? And we just, you know, we became friends.
Casual
shit. Mind you, had only met him one time prior to this. I had DJ'd at his birthday party. So I never really hung out with the guy. I know nothing about him. Never sat down for coffee and anything like that. And I don't know what happened. I think he might have misinterpreted like some shit.
You smiled at him.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's what it was, but I think, you know, he was like really eager to like meet me in person. And I'm in LA. I don't know how he snuck into my building. He got past security.
No, not your house.
And the thing is, I was living with I had a roommate at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He had lost his key. He steps out, leaves the door open. Luckily, my mother was at home. And I hear he had left already. My roommate had left. And I hear the door open. So I'm thinking it's my roommate coming back. So I'm like, bro, is that you? Is that you? No response.
Oh.
And literally, I'm like in my fucking underwear. Like, I'm chilling in my bed at home, just no makeup, just chilling. This guy walks all the way to my room.
No.
I mean, he unannounced. He literally just walks in my house thinking that I was going to get hyped when I saw him or some shit. Like,
Was he drunk or on drugs or something?
I don't know, but... I mean, would you walk into a girl's house unannounced?
No.
Actually,
never.
Open her door and walk all the way to her room?
No, that's a case.
That's a case, but you know. So it's crazy because as soon as he's wearing a mask. Obviously, it's during the pandemic. Oh, okay, like, but I recognized him. I knew it was him.
Right. He's still wearing the mask.
And my mom's next to me, right? Yeah, my mom's just chilling on the bed. We're at home.
Yeah.
And my mom gets startled. Like, who is this person that just walks in here, you know? And then when I recognized him, I went to cover myself and he literally goes to hug me.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
How uncomfortable can this possibly get? Like, I'm not even responding to you being in my house. Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?
You didn't punch him in his face or like,
no,
freak
he
out?
Fucking goes to the living room, he turns the TV on and
oh, I think he had to be on drugs.
I don't think so. I think some guys are just fucked up in the head like that. They think that they could, you know, do certain things and get away with it.
So he walks into your house unannounced, comes into your room and then goes in the living room.
And then chills in the living room thinking I'm going to, you know, go out and welcome him. Like, oh my God, so nice seeing you. Like, no, not at all. I feel embarrassed. I feel ashamed. I feel violated.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, so I just feel like, you know, that's probably the craziest shit that's happened to me with someone that I barely know.
Yeah, it's probably because he was probably a little famous himself, so he's probably used to doing whatever he wanted to do with women.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, you know, I don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but that's the only logical thing I could think about going through his mind.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
that it's not good. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, of course not. You. I mean, how you, imagine I had a gun underneath my pillow.
You should have shot him. You should have shot him. He deserved to get shot. You know, he
maybe
deserved
to get shot. Maybe we lived in Texas or some shit like that.
That's like some real rapey behavior right there.
It's
real
just weird. And I just think about, what if my mother weren't there? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, yeah, it could have escalated to something complete, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I always think about Forensic Files and yeah, you know, all these crazy cases and human behavior. You just never know. You never know what these people are thinking or what their intentions are.
Yeah. Damn, that's scary. It's got to be scary moving around as a woman in general, huh?
I mean, it couldn't, you know, I knew the guy, right? At least I knew who he was. But had that been a Instagram follower or an OnlyFans, you know, subscriber,
if somebody wants to find out where you live, they'll find out.
Yeah. Know? And then I get upset at my boy. He's my boy's the security guard. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck? Like, how did you let him, how did you let him go through? I guess he waited for him to get up from his desk.
Oh, he snuck past.
And he snuck past, and a resident walked out of the building, and he went in, goes up the elevator.
Bro is thirsty.
Not even, the thing is, he didn't even knock on my door. Like, hey. Like, his intention was literally to creep on me like that. It was just weird. I don't know.
Have you talked to him since?
Of course. I cut him off.
Did you? So how did this end, though? How did that episode end? Did you just kick him out, or did you like?
I had to speak to his manager about it. I called his manager after that, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck just happened? Like, this.
But he left, like, on his own?
No. So I'm in the bathroom, and I feel violated because he saw me in my bra and my panties, right? I'm with my mom, so I don't give a fuck. You know, we're just chilling, watching. I don't know what we were watching. Mm-hmm. But I go in the bathroom, and I'm like, damn, should I go and talk to this guy? Like, but I was like, no, this is weird. It's a weird situation. So I told my mom, I'm like, can you go tell him that, you know, I'll talk to him later if he could please leave. And so then, you know, obviously, I guess, you know, my mother went to go speak to him and he left. And, you know, I sent him a message. I'm like, you know,
bro,
what?
Lines have been crossed.
Like, that's not cool. You don't do that. You don't do that.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. You don't want that on your reputation either. Like, I feel like you got to tell people about that though, right? As a woman, because
you
that's
do.
Creepy behavior,
because
he'll do it to somebody else.
You know
thing,
what? At the end of the day, you know, I'm responsible because I left my door open. I didn't lock my door after my roommate left. So that's my fault for leaving
the
door open.
Why didn't he
lock
the door?
He didn't have his key. He had lost his key.
Oh, he lost his key.
And
that's right.
When he left, he didn't tell my mother that he was leaving. So he left and I was, you know, thank God it didn't escalate to anything crazier than that.
My ex-girlfriend broke into my window one time.
Did she?
Yeah, she crept in through my window.
Bitches are crazy too, man. Crazy it's not just guys, man. Girls are nuts too, man. You got to watch out with these girls.
Girls go crazy for you too, though, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, not anymore.
Okay. Hi, Kelly. Yeah, no, but I mean, you got fans that are girls that I'm, you know, girls.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
100%.
Girls,
I mean,
girls violate other girls a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to like swat a bitch down sometimes, or like, how does that work? Because I'm sure, you know, girls, they grab you, gotta grab each other's asses, grab each other's titties, and all
that. Yeah.
But
I like, guess it be like that sometimes.
Yeah, but like,
it be like that sometimes.
How you deal with that?
I mean, recently,
yeah,
I haven't dealt with that much, but in the past, girls come up to me, you know, they try kissing me or hugging me, or, you know, they'll grab my ass, or I mean, I don't feel offended if a girl did it. You know, if a girl did it, it just, you know, she's being playful. It's whatever. I don't feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just lines you don't cross. So obviously, if a guy did that shit to me,
it's a wrap.
It's, I mean,
you ever had to fight somebody?
No.
Punch somebody in their face or do anything, get somebody off you?
No, I haven't. I have had other people fight.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've had either my assistant or my manager.
Well, that's part of the gig.
My manager got
punched. That's part of the gig,
punched.
Kelly.
My ex-manager got punched.
Beat bitches up.
My ex-manager got punched in the face twice. And then my assistant actually got.
Why?
You ever seen The Fresh Prince where Jazz gets thrown?
Oh, through the window? Yeah.
That was my friend that night, unfortunately. Oh, but God. Yeah, but I thank God I've never had to get in a physical altercation with anybody. Yeah. I've had to snuff people, but
snuff people.
People
can
have
you
gone,
show us your snuff? Is it just like a stiff arm?
Like a mush, you know? Yeah. Mush, like, get the fuck out of here.
But, yeah, people get drunk and get a little too close.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with so much shit as a girl. You know, I can't even imagine in the nightlife and all that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Even with club promoters.
Yeah.
Some club promoters, you know, they think that because they hired you, they're at, you know, at liberty to just talk to you a certain way or.
Yeah, yeah. They feel entitled to.
Or they feel like they could flirt with you and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did the Golden Boy situation come about?
Man, I think I actually manifested that into existence when I was younger. I was always a big boxing fan.
Mm-hmm.
Watched boxing my whole life. Mm-hmm. And Oscar obviously was the man during our childhood. Time. You know what I'm saying? He was the man. And it just turned out that my best friend at the time was, you know, we were roommates and they started dating. They started dating and she actually plugged me.
She was dating Oscar.
She was dating Oscar.
Oh, okay.
And she plugged me. Mm-hmm. And she told Oscar, oh, my friend's a DJ, this and that. So, you know, we had a private party in Cabo and he invited us and he's like, tell your friend to bring her equipment on the PJ.
Oh, shit.
I want to hear her mix.
On the PJ.
Yeah. Oh. So we flew private from LA to Cabo and we brought, you know, a little monitor and the controller and we were just fucking going crazy in the private jet.
That's
and Oscar
epic.
Was like, damn, yo, you're really good.
Yeah.
And he, you know, sure enough, he started booking me.
Oh, damn, that's epic.
No, it was awesome. It was awesome.
DJing on a private jet is like your audition.
Yup, that was my audition.
How is he in person?
He's cool. Oscar's, look.
On the line, online, he's crazy.
Big shout out to Oscar De La Hoya. He's a good guy. I feel like he's, what is it? He's, like people misinterpret his personality or who he is.
Clips and all that shit. Yeah.
But he's super down to earth, you know? Mm-hmm. He's a good time. He's a good time. I think that's what, you know, could potentially, you know, get him in trouble, you know, as far as, you know, the media goes and shit like that.
The media is ruthless.
Yeah, but he's a good guy. He's a good guy. We've been working with him for about almost 4 years now.
Dope. So do you like DJing those boxing events?
Oh, they're my favorite thing to do.
Oh, they're your favorite? Oh.
They're my favorite thing to do because, I mean, the highlight of my DJing career was DJing in Madison Square Garden in front of 20,000 people. It was exhilarating.
Yeah.
I grew up a Knicks fan, so to DJ at the Garden was like, is this shit real right now?
Yeah.
Is this really happening?
Yeah, coming from Queens. Damn.
Yeah,
MSG.
And then getting the crowd to sing your songs and, I mean, just hyping everyone up. And, you know, those Canelo fights get crazy with all those Mexicans.
Yeah, facts.
So you throw down the fucking Mexican bangers and everyone's drunk.
Yeah.
You know,
Chico,
waving their flags.
Chico,
you know, it's a vibe. It's amazing.
Yeah, better than the clubs and all that. It's kind of the same thing, huh?
It's a completely different experience. I feel like DJing a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
And DJing in a club, because you're in and out in the club. It's like,
right.
I DJ for an hour, boom. I arrive, you know, do my set, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, when you're DJing for a TV production, it's completely different. You got to listen to, you know, the producers in the back and make sure everything it goes according to plan. And one little fuck up just messes up the whole program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the TV and all that, you got to like, be in sync with all that
you
shit.
You have to be in sync with everything.
So you got to be locked in.
Yeah, it's tough.
Is it pressure? Like, you ever felt like you're, oh shit, like, you know, you about to fold?
I think the first Golden Boy gig I did was the toughest.
Mm.
And then I learned all my lessons from that gig. See, I'm the type of person, if I fuck up, I would try my best to not make those same mistakes the next time around. Because I'm such a perfectionist, I dwell on all my mistakes.
Right.
To the point where I stress myself out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an overthinker.
It eats at you.
It eats at me. So I pop an edible and I'm just like, how do I fucking fix this shit?
Let's talk about that. So you don't smoke weed?
I used to.
Okay.
So when I moved to LA, I started smoking.
Mm-hmm. Did you smoke as a kid?
No, never.
No, you know,
never,
you were,
never,
you were,
never.
You were valedictorian, top
valedictorian. No, not valedictorian. I was
top of your class and all that, yeah.
I was undefeated in chess club. Okay. I take pride in that.
Hey, we can get a chess game going for sure.
Yeah, you know how to play chess?
Oh, come on now.
Oh,
yeah, you know what's funny is about my one of my close friends, he's been in prison since we were 17. So I've been visiting him for this.
They're the best chess players.
I'm 30, so I learned how to play chess from him going to visit
him.
Yeah. So we can get down for sure.
Man, it just, I love chess. It's great. I've been playing since I was younger. Same thing. When my brothers were locked up, we would go out in the VI and play chess. My dad's actually incarcerated as we speak.
Oh,
sorry. So yeah. So he's a big time chess player also. So I think that,
I acquired
my skills from them.
Yeah. Facts. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you don't smoke, or you started smoking.
So when I moved to California, I started smoking. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in the East Coast, it wasn't legal.
Right.
Moved to LA, and it's like, what the fuck? It's like you go to the dispensary. It's like the Apple store for potheads.
Facts.
So it was, I was like, wow. I felt liberated because I was in a brand new city.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends, big pothead, he started smoking. And man, it's just, honestly, I feel like, the first time I smoked weed, I went on a crazy high. Like it was,
he's too high.
It was torturous. I told myself I would never do it again. I wanted to call the ambulance. I was tripping. I went to another dimension. I saw my spirit flow out of my body. It was pretty bad. But what I realized about weed, right? And I respect people that they don't fuck with marijuana. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But what I realized about weed is just, once you know how to control your high, it's the best thing ever.
You got to fight the weed sometimes.
Yeah. And once you know, honestly, because it's mental, once you know how to control those emotions when you're high and you really just start orchestrating whatever it is that you're trying to execute. And I do it for creative purposes or to just relax because I feel like I'm stressed most of the time. So when I pop an edible, it's like, okay, let me just relax. And I just go deep in my thoughts. And I feel like it's so liberating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke anymore. I used to. It triggered my asthma. I was asthmatic when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
And then, I smoke so much. I have bitch lungs. Oh. It started fucking up my asthma. And I promised God. I was like, I can't do this shit no more.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. And then, I have to get on the mic and can't be coughing. I just needed to take care of my health.
What about vaping?
No, I can't do any of that.
Okay.
Can't do any of that. Mm. But I do edibles. I love edibles.
Yo, edibles just do not agree with me.
Why is that?
The last time I took an edible and I promised I would never take an edible again, I was playing Mortal Kombat with my buddies. I was actually living in LA at that time. And we took an edible. I made the beginner's mistake. I took a bite. Nothing happened.
What did you have? Like a brownie?
Brownie.
Something?
Okay. And I'm like, okay, it's not kicking in. Boom, eat the whole thing, okay? Okay, so I'm like playing the game and then I'm looking at the screen. I'm just like, I'm losing. I'm like, why am I keep losing, right?
Yeah.
And then I look down at my hands. I'm like, I can't move my hands.
Oh, I couldn't my move God.
It was bad. And then I just sat in the couch and just like, I was like frozen.
Yeah,
for like 8 hours. Every edible I've taken before that, it's kind of been similar. And it's just like, it just,
really?
It's like an hallucin. I think I just take too much.
Maybe that's what it is.
I just go too hard. I don't have limits.
I think maybe what it is you don't have patience.
I don't have patience.
You smoke and you're high like within
right
5
there,
minutes.
Yeah.
But with edibles, you really need to let it kick in.
But it's a different kind of high. Doing
100%.
It's a little bit more trippy. Than just being high.
I agree.
I respect the fuck out of you for that.
Yeah.
Because I can't handle them fucking edibles.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you just do gummies or?
I do gummies. It depends. I love Vegas because you guys have the Planet 13 out here.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit is dope. That dispensary is.
You gotta
official.
Go to Hardin. They got some cool shit over there.
Hardin.
Too.
Okay, yeah. I need to go. Yeah, I need to go.
Yeah, they'll probably. You know what? I'm gonna plug you with them over there.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you don't have any sponsorships or anything
for weed? No.
Oh, what?
Actually, people don't know.
People don't know.
This is the first time I've actually publicly said that I've consumed marijuana.
Oh,
I've never.
I would never think.
Really?
I would never think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Think.
Especially edibles. Edibles are for soldiers.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, for real.
You know what's crazy is that my mother's actually okay with it now.
Oh, dope.
And cool. My mother, she's Catholic. She's like old school.
Drugs.
Close-minded. Marijuana, fuck that.
Yeah.
But I think she noticed that it helps me.
Yeah.
So I don't do it for the fuck of it. I do it because I get really bad anxiety sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, I do it to kind of calm down and de-stress.
Yeah.
So I think she realizes that it's more of a medication for me. For sure. So she's okay with it now.
It helps. It helps. Like, it's helped so many people.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So it's so crazy to think when we were growing up, it was so
taboo.
We were just sneaking around, yeah. Smoking a little bowl in here and there, and now it's just like out in the open. You know?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's crazy. But I think we'll wrap this up. Let's anything else you want to talk about?
I think we pretty much covered everything. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is my welcome to Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you pulling up. You know, it's really great to tap into the Latin community. I'm half Peruvian myself.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I've been to Peru.
Oh, for real?
Been to Peru.
I want to go. I don't know. That's out of my family.
The cuisine is amazing.
That's why I'm here. Cause it's such a blend like of Asian and different
it's
definitely on my to-do list. But yeah, it was great talking to you. It was great. It was great meeting you. You know, if you ever need anything while you're out here, I'll talk to you after this about that Hardeen thing.
Yeah, no
but,
doubt.
But anything, you know, my door is always open.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to next time.
Till next time.
We'll have some edibles next time.
No, we the fuck we won't.
Smoke a blunt. You can smoke a blunt. Let's do that.
All right, man. All right. Appreciate
all right,
you.
Cool.
Yep.
Peace out.